Okay, good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome all. Two brief prior announcements. First of all, if I could remind people to please turn off their cell phones. I'm sure many people here would be grateful for the announcement. Also, a little housekeeping announcement. Somebody found a card, one of the OU Shirim membership cards with a 10 Shirim on it, across the road in the coffee shop. If you've lost the card and can identify the card by telling us the number of remaining Shirim on the card, probably belongs to someone with a bag of shopping in their hand or a coffee cup in their hand, but the card is with the lady at the front, and if you can supply a suitable halachic siman, then you will be able to reclaim it and enjoy the rest of your Shirim. The summer season is very clearly with us. It's the beginning of July, and one of the things that typifies in many ways the summer Shabbat is the early Shabbat Minyan. Now, we haven't talked about this ever, as far as I can recall. One thing is for sure, what's that? Yes, there are some more outside, yes. One thing for sure, most of the people, if not everybody in this room, came to Israel from Chutz La'aretz. And in Chutz La'aretz, outside in America, in England, etc., it's very standard to daven early on Shabbat. We'll see why soon. In Israel, in many places, this is seen as a very chutznik thing to do. The Israelis are sometimes a little bit sniffy about it, and they say, oh, we don't do that here. And the question is, why not? You'll occasionally get people that even say, oh, you're really not meant to do that. And in fact, over the years, I must confess personally, I've slightly been converted to the regular time minyan from the early minyan on Shabbat. But I want to go through the issues with you, review some of them halachot. Most of today's focus is on halacha rather than hashkafar, although there's some interesting aspects too. And I think some things that you'll find new and certainly very fascinating. As we know, in northern communities, Shabbat can come in and go out very late indeed. I brought you in the footnote that it's a little bit extreme, but in Anchorage, Alaska, mid-June, candle lighting is at 11:25 p.m. If you happen to live in Fairbanks, Alaska, where there is a Jewish community, they call themselves the Frozen Chosen, okay, then candle lighting in the middle of the summer is at 12:20 a.m. That means after midnight, okay? And therefore, clearly, in certain parts of the world, it's very, very difficult to bring in Shabbos at the regular time. Even in more normal, although normal is relative, parts of the world like Glasgow, candle lighting is 9:48. In Oslo, one of my friends was the rabbi of Oslo for many years. It's 10:25 p.m. So you can see the need for bringing forward Maariv in Northern Europe during the week as well, but certainly on Shabbat is very significant. Let's have a look at the pros and cons of that minyan. We've a lot to get through. Let's start at the very beginning, because it is a good place to start. Number one, Vayikra Elokim La'ori Yom La'choshek Kara Laila. So the very beginning of creation, day and night were made. Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker Yom Echad. This is certainly the halachic source that Vayhi Erev, Vayhi Voker, first comes the evening, then comes the morning. That's what characterizes a Jewish day, and from this we learn that the Jewish day starts the night before, not in the morning. Although, in parentheses, not through the shir, you should be aware, and many of you surely are, that this particular verse was the subject of a very major, fierce battle in the Meforshim between the Ibn Ezra and the Rashbam. The Rashbam commented on this particular verse. The Rashbam is a grandson of Rashi, that in his understanding, although halachically, yes, the day starts at night, he understands that pshat in this posik means no, the Torah is telling us that the day actually starts in the morning. How does he get that from the posik? Because he says it's very simple. Vayhi erev, it was evening. Vayhi voker, and then when he got to morning, yom echad, that was the end of the first day. And that, although he's not trying to change the halacha, he understands that on a pshat basis. The Ibn Ezra, you should know, was absolutely mortified and scandalized by that. And in fact wrote something called the Igeret HaShabbat, the letter of Shabbat, where he in a very dramatic way, it's very much worth a read, the Ibn Ezra's Igeret HaShabbat. He writes that when he was living in London, he had a dream in the middle of the night on Friday night, and a malach came to him and said to him that I am the malach of Shabbat, and I've discovered that you have in your library a almost heretical book saying that, and this of course is referring to the Rashbam, that the day starts in the morning, not at night. And Ibn Ezra writes in this poem that he was about to get up in the middle of Shabbos and tear the book to pieces, but he stopped himself. It's very, very, very dramatic. He didn't like the Rashbam's understanding at all. And by the way, there are very, very few manuscripts of the Rashbam that have ever been found. Thousands, hundreds of Rashi, but very few of the Rashbam. Not sure why, perhaps because it was a very controversial commentary and people were not that happy to read it. Yes? He was certainly very concerned with the Karaites in a general basis, but he reserves this particularly, you think that particular parish was going against the Karaites? Yeah. I'm not 100% sure, because
they thought that every Yom Tov should start
by in the morning. It could be. My understanding was that he was focused on that, but maybe you're right, maybe he was both, but certainly he makes a very big, a big focus on that. But halakhically it's very simple, the day starts at night, yes. Correct. In the Mishkan, the day always went Shachris Mincha Mariv. That's why our Sidurim run Shachris Mincha Mariv rather than Mariv Shachris Mincha, but certainly halakhically the day starts at night. Now, where that leaves us with Shabbat is source number two. Shabbat Shabbaton hu lachem. Says the Pasuk in Vayikra here, in Parshas Emor, this, it'll be Shabbat for you. This is talking about Yom Kippur. Ve'initim et nashoseichem, you will afflict your souls, which we understand to be fasting. Ve'tisha lachodesh ba'erev, on the ninth day of the month in the evening. Me'erev ad erev tishbatu shabbatchem. From evening to evening, you will have this special rest. This rest from eating, okay? In that sense, it's a rest from food. The Gemara in Yuma picks up on this and says a very interesting understanding of the Pasuk. What does it mean, the ninth? Why does the Torah refer to the ninth? Look at number three. This is all quite well known. Maybe you should have to start fasting on the 9th of Tishrei. I thought Yom Kippur was the 10th of Tishrei. The Pasuk says the 9th. Maybe you have to start on the 9th. Talmud Loma, so the Torah says no. Ba'erev, you don't start till the evening. Okay? Iba'erev, if you don't have to start till evening, Yachol Mishiteh Shach, so you'd have to only start when it gets dark. No. Talmud Loma Batisha, it says on the 9th. So which is it? You decide. Do you start on the 9th, or do you wait till it turns the evening on the 10th? Says the Gemara, HaKetzad, how does this work? You have to start fasting a little bit while it's still the 9th, during the day. Mikan, and from here, says the Gemara, Shimositi Michol al Kodesh. You have to add from the Chol to the Kodesh. And the Gemara extends that, Ve'eli Ela B'knisa, so I only know at the beginning of Yom Kippur, Be'itziyato Minayin, how do I know at the end? To Talmud Loma, Mi'eret at Eret. You go all the way from the 9th, the end of the day, through Yom Kippur, and you do a little bit into the 11th as well. Eli Ela Yom Kippurim, I only know Yom Kippur, Shabbat, Minayin, how do I know Shabbat, Talmud Loma, Tishbetu. It says at the end, you must do this, Tishbetu, you must rest, which they understand to be Shabbat. Ainly Ela Shabbat says, how do I know, I only know Shabbat, Yom Tovim Minayin, how do I know the Yom Tov as well? Talmud Loma, Shabbat Chem. All of your Shabbatism, Yom Tov is called Shabbat too. Hakate said, how does this work? Kol Machim Shener Bashvus, whenever it says in the verse that there is a Chag, or a Shabbat where it says Shvus, rest, Mosifin Michol Al HaKodesh. You have to add from that which is definitely Chol on Friday, and or the day before and the day after, to that which is Kodesh. Now, this is taken, certainly in the case of Yom Kippur, to be a Torah mitzvah, and there's a machlokes rishonim as to whether this is a Torah mitzvah also for Shabbos and Chag. Some meforshim say that it's a rabbinic mitzvah. Tosfos and the Ramban understand this to be a Torah mitzvah on Shabbos as well, to take from that which is definitely not Shabbos and add that on to Shabbos. By the way, there's a side question as to, are women obligated in this special mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbos as well? So on the one hand, you'd say, well, why would women not be obligated to add this on? The answer is, it's a positive time-bound mitzvah. And the answer is, well, maybe women would be obligated because this is part of Shabbat. And all of the mitzvot on Shabbat, women are fully obligated in. Why? Because the Gemara clearly connects the negative and the positive mitzvot on Shabbat. And anyone who is involved in all the negatives, and of course women are obligated fully to keep all of the negative mitzvot of Shabbat, are fully involved in the positive. The question is this a mitzvah of Shabbat? Or is this a mitzvah of Erev Shabbat and Motzei Shabbat? Parallel to the question with Havdalah. Can a woman make Havdalah for a man? And I think most people would say no. And the question is, why not? Women can make Kiddush for a man. There's no reason why a woman can't make Kiddush for a man. Women are similarly obligated in exactly the same way. The question is Havdalah a mitzvah on Motzei Shabbos, or is Havdalah a mitzvah of Shabbos? If it's a mitzvah of Motzei Shabbos, maybe it's a positive time bound mitzvah, not specifically connected to Shabbos, and women are not obligated in that. Machlokas kicks in here as well, when you ask, are women obligated in Tosefet Shabbos or not? Now, the general fact is that women are, which is one of the reasons why women dafka light candles before Shabbat, and significantly before, we'll see what that is, and how long, when they bring in Shabbat. The Gemara very beautifully, poetically expresses this idea in number 4. Amar Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yossi said, Yehei Chelki, I want my lot in life to be Mimachnise Shabbos b'Tiveria. I want to bring in Shabbos in Tiveria, Umoitse Shabbos b'Tzipori, and I want to take out Shabbos in Tzipori. Now, how do you do that? First of all, it's a long walk. The Rinigash says actually that it was within the Tchum at the time, and you could do it. It's about a 7.5-hour walk, okay? I don't think today it is within any Tchum, and you can't walk from Tiberias to Tiberi. But the Rashi understands that Tiberi is very low, and therefore Shabbos comes in earlier because the sun goes down sooner. Tiberi is very high, and therefore you can see the sun for longer, and Shabbos goes out later. So I want to be in a place to bring in Shabbos as early as I can, and to take it out as late as I can. You could also answer that Tiberia is further to the east, where Shabbos comes in a little earlier, and Tzipori is a little bit to the west, where Shabbos goes in a little bit later. So you get on both sides, both in the altitude and also in the longitude, you get a little bit of extra Shabbos. So there's a mitzvah to add on from what is definitely Friday to what is Shabbos. Go over the page. We'll do this pretty quickly. Have a look here in source number 5. So the Shulchan Aruch rules it. Yes, Omrim. There is a view. Shitzarech lahoistiv mecholah lakodesh, that you have to add from that which is definitely chol to the kodesh. Why does he quote it as the Yes, Omrim? Only there are those who say. Because, strangely, the Rambam does not mention this din anywhere in the Mishnah Torah, and neither does the Tur, and therefore the Shulchan Aruch expresses it as the Yes, Omrim, but this is still the halacha. So he says, Yes, Omrim, that you have to add from chol to kodesh, okay? And now this gets a bit complex, and we're going to look more at this next week, or 2 weeks. Actually, next week I'm not here. I'm sure there'll be a share, but from 2 weeks from now, please God, I'll be back. I want to look in a couple of weeks at the late Shabbos, not the early Shabbos, which is the great question of Rabbeinu Tam, and where did all that come from? And what happens if you end up rolling in very late for Shabbos? How late can you bring in Shabbos and associated issues like that, which is very fascinating, which is not for now. But he says here, this addition of Tosefet Shabbos starts from when it's Shkia, She'ein HaShemesh Nired Al Haaretz, when the sun goes down, Ad Zman Bein HaShemoshes, up until Bein HaShemoshes. Now, we actually don't follow this view. This is the view of Rabbeinu Tam and many other poskim, Rishonim, that Bein HaShemoshes, the twilight zone, is much, much later than we understand it to be. They understand that even when the sun goes down and the sun disappears, the Shulchan Aruch rules, like Rabbeinu Tam, that's still called daytime. Now, we don't follow that sack uniformly, and we'll talk more about that next time. We understand that the minute the sun goes down, that's called the end of the day. At least it's Bein HaShemashot. You're in the twilight zone. But let's talk more about that another time, because that particular disagreement is going to distract us for today. The Hazman Azeh, what is this Tosefet Shabbos? Ratzel asoy tekula Tosefet, if you want to make the whole period of this time into additional Shabbos, Ose, then you can. Ratzel asoy mimenu miktat, if you want to make a little bit of Tosefet Shabbos, Ose, then you can as well. You can do whatever you want. As long as you take some of what is definitely Friday and you add it on to Shabbos, how much do you need to take? He says, it doesn't matter, you can take whatever you want. Now, there are those that say, well, you have to have a significant amount of time. Look in the Mishnah Berurah number 6. Ezezman, what is this time? He quotes, you can't leave it till the very last minute. For example, the sun, let's say, is about to set at, 7.35. Sunset now is a little bit later, let's say 7.55. You've got to wait till 7.54, light candles at the very last moment and say, that's it, I added on a minute to Shabbos. He says, that you shouldn't do. And a little bit, at least more than that. The Shira Tosefet in Bein HaShemashot B'Yachad, the added together, the twilight zone, and what you add on from that, which is definitely Friday, Ole Kimat Chetzisha. He feels that minimally, it should be around half an hour. Now, what's half an hour, he says? Half an hour of twilight plus Tosefet Shabbos. So this is a minimum, he says. That, what will that come to? So the poskim differ, and they say, some say you should have at least 2 minutes, Rav Moshe Feinstein, some say 4 minutes, some say 5 minutes. As you know, we'll see in a minute, our minhag in Israel, in Yerushalayim, certainly is to add how long? 40 minutes before sunset. So it's 40 minutes and then twilight. In Chutz La'aretz, the general minhag is 18, 20, we'll see right now. So the Mishnah Brura says what the recommended time is in number 7, Lefize, yesh li ze ma'od shelo la'asad malacha acha shechama nichnasa nitkasa me'ineinu. So you should certainly not do any malacha when the sun goes down. That's already in a sophic zone. It could actually be fully Shabbat. But afilu malachat mitzvah, even if it's for a mitzvah, let's say you really left it to the last minute, could go and have lachas neiros. You didn't light candles and the sun's gone down. It's too late. All that you can do is ask a non-Jewish neighbor, if you have one, to light candles for you, which is a bit strange, but that's possible. But you can't light candles anymore. Let's do the Shabbos or whatever you need to have light or cooking for Shabbos meals. It's too late. The sun's gone down. You have to finish lighting candles before the sun sets. And certainly people should be aware of this. Once the time for sunset has arrived, there is no more latitude. And in an ideal world, he says, Ein lahamtin ad harega achron. This is a good question for life as well. Don't leave things till the last minute. Rakyakdim hadlakasa mishah shahashemesh v'roshei ha'ilanot. You should light candles, he says, when the sun is at the tips of the trees, which is very nice. If you happen to live in England and you don't see the sun from 1 month to the next, you can't rely on that. But you get a time in the calendar, which is what we follow, which is the Zman Hadlaka, as you said, which is 18, 20 minutes, something like that. If you can be extra careful and stop doing malacha already half an hour, or al kolpanim, or in any event, shlisha, or 20 minutes, kodem shkia, ashrei lo, then that's great for you, to have a yotzei b'zeyidei shita kol harishonim, because that way you cover all bases. There are rishonim, we'll see them in the next session, who understand that the shkia is actually before the sun goes down. And therefore, if you leave it at least 20 minutes to light candles before our sunset time, then you're yotzei according to everybody. Nobody thinks it's Shabbos, and you've even added on a little bit. There are different minhagim, some are 18, some are 20, 25, 30. I don't see 30 very much these days, but Rav Soloveitchik is quoted by Rav Herschel Schechter as saying that the minhag in Europe, I suppose there were different minhagim in different places in Europe, but Rav Soloveitchik says the minhag in Europe was to wait 30 minutes before Shkia. And of course Yerushalayim is 40. Now the question is, how you actually accept Shabbat is an interesting question. There's a debate. Women generally accept Shabbat by lighting candles. That's the general minhag, although it's not absolutely required. A woman can make it tonight under certain circumstances. She doesn't want to accept Shabbat. Men have to do it a different way, and often men forget to accept Shabbat, and they wait until they daven in shul and they say, you know, Bo'ichala, Bo'ichala, or Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat, or Baruch Hu, and usually by that time, it's a little bit too late, because it's after sunset. And therefore, in an ideal world, men should remember to be Makabel Shabbat a little bit earlier. Some say you have to do it verbally, say, I'm Makabel Shabbat. Some say you can do it in your mind. Some say just not doing Malachar and being in Shul, that's good enough. There are Yekesha people in this world who will not say Shabbat Shalom to you until after they've davened Mincha. I used to daven in Munks in London. You go up to people on Friday for Mincha, they'll say, Guten Erev Shabbos. Okay? And why will they not say Good Shabbos? Because if Good Shabbos is Kabbalah Shabbos, now you can't daven Mincha. Because you've just accepted Shabbos and Mincha is a fafalan. There's nothing you can do. So I'm not saying ad kedei kach, you have to be so precise, but there are people who will not say Good Shabbos to you before it's actually Shabbos, and now you know why. Fine. So that's the mitzvah of Tosefet Shabbos in some detail. Now, what's very interesting, looking at number 8, is what is the status of this period of Tosefet Shabbos? Meaning, let's say you're a Yerushalmi, and you're like 40 minutes before Shkia. And now you're sitting there, sitting on the sofa, everybody's happy, you're sitting like the Shabbos queen, right? Is it really Shabbos? Because the sun's up, the sun's shining through the windows, candle lighting the official time, or shkir at least, is not for another 20, 30 minutes. The answer is, it's sort of Shabbos. Have a look at number 8. Says the Gemara, you might think that this extra Tosefet period is not within the onish, meaning no one's going to stone you, God forbid, if you were to break Shabbos then. Everybody agrees with that. Or Yom Kippur is not Chayv Kares. Aval Yehei Muzhar al Tosefet Malacha. But maybe it's in the negative mitzvah not to break Shabbos. Lo Taaseh Kol Malacha. Talmud Lomer, the Torah says no. V'chol Malacha Lo Taasu Be'ektem Hayom Hazeh. The negative mitzvah not to break Shabbos is when it's really Shabbos, meaning when it's dark. Al itzumo shel yom hu mutar. On the actual day is the negative mitzvah. The einu mutar al tosefet malacha. But the extra that you add on, that's not the negative mitzvah of Shabbos. What is it then? So, according to those who understand that tosefet Shabbos is a Torah mitzvah, this is a separate positive mitzvah. You're in a separate positive zone of tosefet Shabbat. It's a new kind of mitzvah. It's not really Shabbat, but it's Ke'ilu Shabbat. There are those that want to say it's a neder. It's you've taken on a neder that you've accepted Shabbos early. Now, if it's a neder, that brings in some very interesting questions. Can you then change your mind? Let's say you're Makabel Shabbos early in the summer. You take on early Shabbos, an hour or so before it gets dark. And then you realize, oyvey, there's an emergency or there's a problem. I suppose if it's a real emergency, you'd be able to break Shabbat anyway. But there's something which is not an emergency, but now you realize you wish you hadn't accepted Shabbos. Can you then run to the Rav, get three men together, and do Hataras Nadorim? A quick Hataras Nadorim. This actually came up in Yerushalayim a few years ago. There was a baby born on a Friday. And the bris, Bismanoi, was the following Friday morning. So Friday morning came, and of course it's a big mitzvah to do the bris bizman on the eighth day. They looked at the baby's yellow, you can't do the bris. Okay, so we'll do the bris on Sunday, because you can't put the bris off to Shabbos, because you can only do a bris on Shabbos if Shabbos is the eighth day. Here Shabbos is the ninth day, so you have to do it on Sunday. Okay, we'll re-invite everyone for Sunday. Shabbos was coming towards Shabbos on Friday afternoon. They brought in early Shabbos. And then somebody looked at the baby and said, this baby looks fine now. Let's do the bris now, about an hour before Shabbos, because there's a big mitzvah to do it this month. So they ran around like crazy, they found the mole, and they said to the mole, let's do the bris now, okay, won't be so many people, we get the mitzvah this month. He says, I'm sorry, I've already been makabel Shabbos, I can't do the bris now. So they said to him, what are you talking about? You can do a bris and break Shabbos if it's this month. He said, well, yes, if it's on Saturday, you can do a bris on Shabbos, this month, if it's on Shabbos, but what if it's on Friday and you just accepted Shabbos? Does a bris on Friday, on which is Shabbos, also override Shabbos? Interesting question, right? And the mole said, I really don't know and I'm not going to do it. Later they went to Rav Eliashiv, this is how it was reported to me, and Rav Eliashiv said, he should have done Hataras Nadarim. There's a machlokes whether you can do Hataras Nadarim for Kabbalah Shabbos. According to the Taz, you can. You should sunnich on the Taz. Don't Hataras Nadarim and got on with the bris there and then. Very interesting. Also, there's a parallel question as to whether the husband can be mefir the neder of his wife. Hafarat Nadarim. And that's also discussed. If the wife is Makabbal Shabbos and says, oi, I forgot to heat up the chicken soup. I must go and cook the chicken soup. Can the husband say, Mufalach, 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 it's Hafaras Nadarim, and on the day he heard it, or is that not one of the kind of vows that applies between husband and wife? A separate question, but very interesting in and of itself. Also, really, that period of the end of Friday when you accept Shabbos, for many other halachas, is not really Shabbos. It's still Friday. For example, between Pesach and Shavuos, you accepted early Shabbos, but then you realize, oh yeah, I forgot to count Sefirot HaOmer. It's okay. You can still count Sefirot HaOmer for Friday, even though you accepted Shabbos. Because for Shabbos, it's Shabbos. But it's really Friday. Okay? For Sefirot HaOmer, it's Friday. Because it's still Sefer Shabbos. So too, let's say if a baby is born during Tosefet Shabbos. The family's accepted Shabbos, and then the wife has a baby. The bris is not on Shabbos next week. The bris is on Friday. Because it really is still Friday. Or similarly, let's say that if a woman's forgotten to do a Hefsek Tara and she's already accepted Shabbos, it's okay. It's still Friday for those purposes. So you are in this interesting zone where it's a little bit like Friday, a little bit like Shabbos. Okay, finally, before we get into the early Shabbos, how early can early be? How soon can you accept Shabbos? So have a look here in number 9. Imroi says the Ramah, Lahakdim ulakabel alava Shabbos, miplag ha-mincha ba'elech, harushud biyadot. you can accept Shabbos from Plag HaMincha. When is Plag HaMincha? The Mishnah Brura clarifies number 10, the following, V'netza be'asiyas malacha, aval in kibel alav ha-shabbos kaidem Plag HaMincha, if you go before Plag HaMincha. Let's say you say, I've got nothing to do, I'll accept Shabbos at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, way before Plag HaMincha, and have a nice relaxing afternoon. Ein be'kabalato klum. He says it doesn't work at all, although we'll qualify that in a few minutes. Uplaga mincha nikra shav revir kodem ha erev. When is plag ha mincha? Very easy. An hour and a quarter before. Are you warm? Are people warm? I think the air conditioning is on, but maybe I ask them to actually turn it. Oh, careful! It's not that urgent. You have to fall over for it. So if you ask them to turn it down a bit. Plag ha mincha, very easy. I'm not getting into a whole analysis of the Jewish clock in the day. Is an hour and a quarter halachic hours. We'll get to those in a minute. Before the sun sets, probably. Before the sun sets, we'll see that itself is a little bit debated, but an hour and a quarter before the sun goes down, then you can accept Shabbos, but not before. Now, let's now talk about the early Shabbos. All of that is by way of setting the scene. We understand the Tosefet Shabbat, it's a mitzvah, so let's say a community wants to take on early Shabbos, can they? What are the issues? There are about 7 or 8 issues, and you'll see from these issues, these are reasons why there are some people who feel unhappy about being Makabel Shabbos. Let's go to number 11, please. We see in the Gemara that that Rav davened early on Friday afternoon. Look at number 11, please. Rav Ikla Lebe Gniva. It's not Gniva, it's Gniva. His name was Gniva, I think, or Gniva, something like that. He went to this person's house for Salishal Shabbos for Erev Shabbos, and he davened Shabbos night, davening, Shabbos at Mariv, already on the afternoon, on Friday afternoon. Shema Minah, we learn from this, says the Gemara, Mitzpalel Adam Shel Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos. You are allowed to daven Mariv, which is Mariv of Shabbos, when it's still Erev Shabbos. Rashi says, Shekibal Alav Shabbos, Mibbe'oid Yom. He accepted Shabbos early. And in fact, the Shulchan Aruch paskens that you can light candles early, you can even daven early. Meaning before we talked about Tosefet, that was just accepting Shabbos on yourself. The question is, how early can you actually daven? When can you light candles? Look at number 12. Says Shulchan Aruch, Lo yagdim lemaher lahadliko be'oid yom. You can't do it too early, be'oid yom gadol, right in the middle of the afternoon. She'az einu nika shemadliko lichvot Shabbos. Because if you light a candle, let's say 3 o'clock in the afternoon on Friday, no, it's not clear that that's the Shabbos. That's not clearly Shabbos candles. So it's just that you can't do. Ve'im roitel adliko nenu be'oid yom gadol lekabel alav Shabbos miyad miyad. Rishai, if you want to light candles and accept Shabbos straight away, that you can do. Kevan shemakabel alav Shabbos miyad ein zeh hakdama. That's not too early. Bilvad, again, as long sheyeh miplaga mincha ulamala. As long as it's from plaga mincha and later. Shehu shah revia, it's 1 hour and a quarter, kaidim halayla. And women sometimes get this a little bit wrong. Especially with an early Shabbos. People sometimes make it too early. For example, let's say the early Shabbos, a minyan, is at around, minchas at around 6. We'll see in a minute that they arrange the early Shabbos minyan so that mincha is just before plag, and Kabbalah Shabbos, l'chadodi, etc. is just after. If a wife wants to go to that early Shabbos minyan and says, good, I'm going to lie before I go, like I normally do in the winter, and I'm going to go to the minyan, she can't do that, because mincha is already before plag. And therefore she's lighting candles too early, and the Shulchan Aruch seems clearly to Paskin that she's not allowed to do that. So too the Shulchan Aruch says, with Mariv, number 13, Magdimim lehit palel arvis yotem ibeod yachol. Yes, even if you daven late on a regular weekday, you can daven earlier on Friday afternoon. And from Plaga Mincha, you can light candles, you can daven Mariv, and then you can eat, and we'll get into eating in a minute. So that's just one thing. I brought you an example in footnote 16. Plaga Mincha in London next Friday night is at 7:35. Regular candle lighting time is at 9:03, and therefore you can see how that's already quite a lot earlier. It's very helpful to bring in Shabbos by Plag HaMincha in New York, a little bit less extreme, but still also very helpful. So the first thing you have to be aware of with early Shabbos is, early can't be too early. Plag HaMincha is the earliest anyone can be Makabel Shabbos and light candles. And what happens if you lit candles before Plag HaMincha and you didn't realize? So then you get into a very interesting discussion, which is if a woman doesn't light candles on Shabbos, misses a Shabbos, then she has to light an extra candle for the rest of her life, or at least longer candles. Is this part of missing out, and we'll see in a minute, maybe not so much. If you lit other lights in the house, maybe, whatever, that's the whole question. But this sometimes happens with new colors. You know, they get married in the summer, they're very excited, the first time they ever light candles, and their first Friday night married, and they make early Shabbos, and then someone tells them, actually, you know something, you lit candles too early, you didn't light candles at all. So that's a great way to start married life. And then the question is, she has, is do I now have to light another candle every Shabbos for the rest of my life? The answer, probably not, but that's, don't get into the problem. The next question is the Mincha Maariv dilemma, and this happens during the week as well. When is the Zman, this is worthwhile just reviewing a little bit, when is the Zman for Mincha and when is the Zman for Maariv? So looking at number 14, the Mishnah says, Tfilat HaMincha Ad HaErev. How long can you daven Mincha? Until evening. Let's assume that means sunset. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Rabbi Yehuda says, no, Ad Plag HaMincha. Mincha ends at Plag HaMincha. Tfilat Ha'erev and Maariv Ein La Keva. We're less kind of fixed about Maariv. So according to the Mishnah, there are two opinions as to what the end time for Mincha is. The Rabbanon say sunset, and Rabbi Yehuda says Plag HaMincha. You can only daven Mincha until an hour and a quarter before sunset. After that is already the Zman for Maariv. And the Rambam makes clear that because Maariv was more of a Rishut, meaning Shacharis and Mincha are connected to the Korbanot, the Tamid in the morning, the Tamid in the afternoon, Maariv is not connected to a constant Korban. Maariv is connected to the fact that they burnt off the leftover fats and meat from the day before. They burnt that off at night. Sometimes they had more, sometimes they had less, sometimes they had none. And therefore, Maariv has that status, if you like, originally at least of Rishut. Now, men at least have taken on that they daven Maariv pretty much on a regular basis, or at least they should do. Women, generally speaking, do not daven Maariv, although it's a lovely thing to do. And therefore, the Rambam says we're less strict about the Zman for Maariv. But again, presumably Maariv begins when Mincha ends. So, according to the Rabbanon, Mincha is until sunset, Maariv's after that. According to Rabbi Yehuda, Mincha's until Plag, and Maariv's after that. So which one do we paskin like? So have a look in the Gemara number 16. Very unusually, the Gemara gives you a lot of choices. Amar Rav Chisda. Rav Chisda says, Nechzi Anam, we've seen, Midrav Matzli Shal Shabbos Be'erev Shabbos Mivoid Yam. Since we saw already that Rav davened early on Friday afternoon, Shmamina, davened Maariv early, we learn from this, Halachic Rav Yehuda. Why, says the Gemara, was Rav davening so early? Because he paskens like Rav Yehuda. So you can daven Maariv already from Plag HaMincha. So the Gemara says, Adarabba, maybe not. Midrav Huna, for Rabbanon, loy havi maslo ad urutzer. Rav Huna didn't daven on Friday night until nighttime. He would not make early Shabbos. Shmamina ain't alocha to Rav Yehuda. Oy. From that, it seems like you can't daven Maariv earlier. So which is it? Some rabbis did it earlier, some rabbis didn't. So again, unusually the Gemara answers, Hashtag the loy itma hilchas the loy kamar. The loy kamar, now that the halacha has not been clearly said either this way or that way, the avid kamar avid, or the avid kamar avid. If you follow this one, that's fine, and if you follow that one, that's fine. You can choose. Either you daven mincha up to plag, and then maariv after plag, or you daven mincha up to sunset, and Maariv after sunset. You choose whichever you want to do. And Taka, that is what the Shulchan Aruch passes. I'm not going to read the whole Shulchan Aruch in number 17, but it's very interesting. The Shulchan Aruch says, you can choose, but you have to be consistent, he says. If you daven Maariv after sunset, then you have to daven every day Maariv after sunset. And if you daven Maariv from Plag, you have to daven every day Maariv from Plag. And he says, very interestingly, our minhag in the Sephardi countries is only to daven late Maariv, not to daven early Maariv. And therefore, everybody should daven Maariv only after it gets dark. Unless they have a Shasat Chag, in which case, one day, let's say every day of the week you daven Maariv late, one day you have an emergency, okay, you can daven Maariv early. The Ramah comes in and says, well, actually, in Europe, our minhag is like the other way, to daven Maariv early. Presumably, why? Because it's so late. You live in Poland, it gets dark much later in the summer than it does in Morocco or Spain, and therefore he says, our minhag is to daven early. So, but again, he says you have to be consistent. You daven every day, mincha up to plag, maariv after plag. So both the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah, the Rav Yosef Karo and the Ramah, seems to say that you have to be consistent. What you can't ever do, it seems, is be inconsistent within the same day. meaning it's bad enough to be inconsistent generally between days. But what happens if you want to say, well, I want to split my kind of personality now a little bit. I want to daven mincha late, like the Rabbanon, after plague, but now I want to daven Mariv early, like the Rabbi Yehuda, before Shkia. Can you do that? Which is basically like nobody's opinion. Because you're davening mincha according to this view and Mariv according to that view. So Mishnah Berurah says, you really shouldn't do that. Number 18, look with me please. Mikol makom ein lahakel bazer rak im al kol panim ba'otze yom itpalel mincha kodim plag. You have to at least be consistent within the day. Aval im ba'otze hayom gufa itpalel mincha acha plag. But if that day you davened mincha after plag, shuv asur lo lehitpalel arbit kodim alayla. It's absolutely awesome for you to daven Mariv straight afterwards, because that's completely inconsistent. That's nobody's opinion. To have it tarki de sasri, that is mutually inconsistent, but also yom gufa on the very same day. That's if you're alone. About sibur, and you're all thinking, one second, I used to daven in Chutz Laaretz. They always daven mincha and marib together. They always did this. This is which the Mishnah Berurah has just told you is also to do. So he says, "Aval sibur sheitpalelu mincha ukasheyelchu lebeitam in community where you daven mincha. If everybody goes home, yeh toireach lekavtsam sheinit leitpalel letzilat erev. If you're going to have a tircha, no one's going to come back from Arev. Then the tzvatot tzilat sibur. Then you won't have any community davening legamrei at all. Hekilo achronim. They've even been lenient. Shemutel leitpalel arvid somuch lemincha." And that's what we rely on. The fact that even though it really doesn't make any sense, that the community says, well, daven mincha, then the rabbi speaks for like 2 minutes and says, Rabbi Chanan ben Akasha Omer, and then 100 people say Kaddish, and then you daven Mariv, etc. That really is inconsistent. The only reason we do that is because if we didn't, then nobody would come. There are minyanim, I do know, that even though they daven mincha Mariv together, they always time it by plague. And therefore, mincha is always just before plague, Mariv is always just after plague, but that's quite difficult for people. They're davening at a different time every single day. Most communities say, mincha Mariv is a 7:30, zeo. And they rely on this Mishnah Berurah. Now, how does that feed into early Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah says, okay, during the week, you do that. But on Shabbos, you really, really shouldn't do that. And therefore, early Shabbos minyanim are very particular that mincha is just before plague, and Mariv is just after plague, and they don't get into that mutually inconsistent situation where they actually daven them both together. And in fact, Rav Soloveitchik and Rav Aaron Lichtenstein passing that if your mincha mariv, your early Shabbos minyan is such that they're both in the same kind of inconsistent zone, better you should daven on your own. Daven mincha earlier, and then just come for mariv, to be consistent. But he says, but you better actually not just come for mariv, because then everybody thinks you don't daven mincha, and therefore you better come to mincha and take it. And that's what Rav Aaron said. You daven mincha on your own in the house. You come to mincha, you shokel, and everybody thinks you're davening mincha, but really you daven mincha earlier. The truth is that in Israel, even the early Shabbos minyanim are pretty careful to always get this right. They daven mincha just before plague, and they daven mariv after, and therefore everybody is relatively happy. However, the Israelis are not happy. Why? Because the Vilna Gaon, which is very, very strongly the minna in Israel, because the Vilna Gaon's Talmidim came to Israel, says you may not daven early Mariv ever. He likes people davening Mariv only after this man. Look at number 20, Maaseh Rav of the Vilna Gaon says, Tfilat Arvit Bizmana Davka. Tfilat Arv has to be Bizman, Afilu B'Shabbos, even on Shabbos, Af B'Yachim, even if you're davening on your own, you have to daven after. And this is the real reason why many Israeli communities are particularly unhappy with the minhag. First of all, in Sephardi communities, they've never even heard of early Shabbos, because they basically follow the Shulchan Aruch, the Rav Yosef Karo, where they always davened Mariv pretty much late anyway. The Ashkenazi communities that in Europe used to daven Mariv early, and yet make early Shabbos, when they got to Israel, they started following more and more the Pesach of the Vilna Gaon, which is that really doesn't work, and that is the reason why many Israelis will say, I'm sorry, the minhag here is that we don't make early Shabbos. Rabbi Yashiv was asked, but what about the kids? You want to come home and eat, you know, dinner at a civilized time with the kids. If you make late Shabbos, the kids will all be sleepy. So he says, okay, I'll tell you what to do. You be makabel Shabbos early, light candles early, that's fine, so sefet Shabbat. You sit daven mincha early, sit down, have your Shabbos dinner with the kids while it's still light, and then you run to the regular minyan for Mariv and run home again for dessert. So that's the way to do it. But you can't daven Maariv, he says, before the Zman. And actually, that works. It's a little bit inconvenient. It means you have to get up in the middle of your Shabbos meal. But if people do want to do it early, that is what they're going to have to do according to Rav Eliashib. However, turn over the page and I'll show you something very interesting. There was a Rav called the Trumat HaDeshem. I quoted from him a number of times in the Shurim. Rav Yisrael Isselin. He lived in Europe in the 1400s. And he wrote a series of tshuvas called the Trumat HaDeshen. Deshen is Gematria 354, and he wrote 354 tshuvas. And as I think I've mentioned before, when we had the shir on transgender, I mentioned this. He decided that rather than just write tshuvas that people asked, questions that people asked him, he'd make up his own shilas. And that's why you remember then in that shir, he made up the shila of Mrs. Eliyahu Hanavi, who wanted to get remarried, and the question is, does she need to get? Remember that? And her husband's now a malach. Not getting into that now, but that we talked about then. So tshuva number one in the Trumas HaDeshen. Look at the starting question. We're not going to read the whole thing. Look at number 21. Barayv kilos in majority of kehillas. And he's in Central Europe in the 1400s. Noigim b'yamim arukim. On the long days of the summer. B'yamei ha'kayitz. Likrot kriyat shma shal arvis. People say kriyat shma. And they daven Maariv, Gimel oy dalet shas lifnei tzeis hakochavim. 3 or 4 hours before it gets dark. Now, my goodness, that is way before Plag HaMincha. A long time before Plag HaMincha. Im yeshum yishuv otam leminag zeh. Is there any reason for this minag? Ki gam harbe tamid hakochavim. Im ha'amayin. Many Talmidei Chachamim also do this, which is fascinating. You will not find a minyan in the world. Maybe the Amshinovers, I'm not sure. They have their own clock and their own davening time, generally, the Chassidim. But you will not find any Ashkenazi minyan anywhere that davens Maariv and says Krishma 4 hours before it gets dark. And he goes through a whole tshuva where he says, basically, I have no idea where they get this from. It must be, he says, he justifies, he says, the reason might be because as follows. People want to have a nice big meal. If they eat before mincha, they'll never actually make it to shul. Because if they eat before mincha, they won't actually get there. If they eat before mincha, they'll never make it to shul. And therefore, better they should daven mincha, daven Maariv early, and even if it's very early, because people just won't come to shul otherwise. Well, that's all very well, but you're still davening Maariv 4 hours before it gets dark. And basically the Trumas HaDeshen says, I don't see any justification for this, but he quotes a story, quite a famous story. Look at the last 3 lines of 21. Gam shamati b'yeshiva. I also heard in the yeshiva, this is in the 1400s. Mipi echad me'agadoylem, from one of the great people there, Sheshama, that he heard, v'kibal ki b'yamei ha'kidmonim, and he accepted that in the ancient days. Now, I don't know exactly where he's talking about, but he must have been talking a couple of hundred years before this. So we're talking about early Rishonim. Bekrems, in Krems. Krems is a town in Austria, on the Danube. Krems an der Donau, okay? The Donau, sorry, an der Donau. Krems, it was just to the west of Vienna. It was in Krems, he says. Hit palnu arvis, they davened Maariv, v'karu et shma, and they said kriya shma, be'erev Shabbos, on Friday afternoon. V'oida yom godol kolkach, and it was so early, he said, Shehaya Rav Ha'ir, the Rav of the town, Shehaya Me'ah Gedoilim HaKadmonim, who was one of the greatest of the great, who v'chal tuvi hakal imoy, him and all the great and the good of Krems, halchu l'tayel achar achilat shel sudat Shabbos al Tzvat Hanar, they went for the river, to walk by the river Donau, after Friday night dinner, v'haya choyzim l'bateim kodem alayla, and they managed to get there and back and home before night. Meaning, they davened, they went home, they ate their Shabbos dinner with their family, they went out to the Danube and they strolled and promenaded up and down the Danube, and they got home and it was still light. Now that's remarkable. How on earth did they manage to do that, says the Trumas HaDeshen? I honestly don't know, halachically, how they did that, but they did. Now, will you find anyone who passed this way today? No, except the Orach HaShulchan in number 22 actually quotes this story and says, you know something, even though it's much better to do it after Plag HaMincha, you can't ignore the fact that this seems to have been a very widespread minhag that they davened and said Kriya Shema, which is remarkable because Kriya Shema Shalaila has to be Mamash Shalaila, they said this very, very early. Now again, I don't think you'll find anyone who says you can rely on this. It has to be from Plag HaMincha onwards, but it is there, and I imagine that will be the question for the bride who is crying because she lit her candles too early on her first Friday night. you know something? You know, the Trumas Hadeshen is Yesh Ami Lismoich. Maybe she wouldn't have to light candles for the rest of her life. But ask, please, your local Orthodox rabbi. Now, a few other points. Yes? We'll get to that in about 3 minutes. Okay, let's do like 5 or 6 last points, which I think fascinating. Okay, so Plaga Mincha, everybody's happy, right? You can daven early Shabbos from Plaga Mincha. Except, how do you calculate Plaga Mincha? Because we're assuming you're calculating Plaga Mincha from sunrise to sunset, which is the position of the Vilna Gaon. And then how long is the halachic hour? Well, it's a little bit more than 60 minutes. In the summer, let's say that the day is 14 hours long, from sunrise to sunset. So halachic hours will be, I don't know, 65 minutes, 70 minutes, and you can get a nice normal Plaga Mincha. But according to the Magen Avraham, you don't calculate from sunrise to sunset. You calculate from daybreak to nightfall. That's how you work out halachic hours. If you take that Plaga Mincha, then it won't help, because halachic hours are now so long, because it's a much longer period, that Plaga Mincha works out much, much later. And the Mishnah Berurah doesn't say exactly which one you should follow. In fact, he slightly seems to indicate better to go with the Magen Avraham's time. And if you do that, then your early Shabbat, I'm afraid, will implode on itself. I'll give you an example. I brought it here in the note. Where did I put this? Yeah, the note over onto page 6. Let's go onto page 6 for a second. For example, this Friday night in Yerushalayim, Plag HaMincha is 6:19, according to the Grov, if you calculate from sunrise to sunset. Good. So you'll have a nice early Shabbos minyan. You'll daven mincha around 6 o'clock, 6:05, Plag HaMincha, 6:19, daven Mariv, go home, have dinner. According to the other view of how to calculate Plag HaMincha, Plag HaMincha is not till 7:16. Now, that's after the normal candle lighting time in Yerushalayim. So what did you gain? Gornished. So, okay, you can make early Shabbos, yes, of course, after Plag HaMincha, but which Plag HaMincha? You're relying on the fact that we go with the more convenient Plag HaMincha to make your early Shabbos. And that's another reason why people will turn around and say, well, it's not so posh. Plag HaMincha is very nice, but which Plag HaMincha are you talking about? But okay, the minhag is to go with that, we'll stick with that. Now, let's get to the lady's point over there, reciting Shema, number 25. Zman Kriya Shema Balayla Mishad Yitzir Shlosh Kachavim Katani. That's quite straightforward. Kriya Shema in the evening, leave aside what the Rav of Krems did back in the day, 700 years ago. Kriya Shema can only be said after 3 small stars come out. The Imkara Kodim Lechem, if you read Shema earlier, like at an early Shabbos, that's okay. Chayze v'kara osa b'lo brochas. You have to read it again later without the brochas. V'im ha'tzibu magzimim likrod Kriya Shema b'oiv yom. And if the tzibu davens an early Mariv after Plag, yikra imahem, you do read with them. Kriya Shema u'bir kaseh, and can even say the brochas, which is strange, because you might have thought, well, how can I say the brochas for Kriya Shema in Mariv? It's too early for Kriya Shema. Yeah? You can't say a brocha for a mitzvah when the mitzvah doesn't apply. Let's say I'll get in early for Bedikah Chometz right now, and I'll make a Sheikh Nishar Mitzvah, I'll be a Chometz. Good, fine, I'll do it. You can't do that. You can't make a brocha when it's not this man. No, he says you can here. V'itpalele mahem, and you can even daven Mariv, u'kashigi esman, and when you get this man arrived, kori Kriya Shema, the loy brochas. And that's what we do, as the lady mentioned over there. When you make early Mariv, you daven Mariv in full, with the Shema, with the brochas, and then later at home, you say Kriya Shema on its own. You should just know that according to some Rishonim, you can't do that. Some Rishonim held, the Rosh, that when you daven early Mariv, what is Mariv? Just Shmona Esrei. You just stand up, daven Shmona Esrei together, then go home, and later when it gets dark, you say Shema and all the brochas and all that, meaning he disconnects the Shema from the Shemona Esrei in Mariv, which makes sense, because really the Shema and the Shemona Esrei have got nothing to do with each other in Mariv. We don't do that, we do it all together, and therefore people do that. The main question is, they've just got to remember to do that, and therefore many minyanim, when they daven early on Friday night, someone will give a clap at the end and say, gentlemen, don't forget to say Kriya Shema Bizmano. Of course, women are not obligated in Kriya Shema Bizmano, although it's not a bad thing. And they'll give a clap and say, please remember to say Kriya Shema at, and they'll often give the time. The Torah Tidbits is very on the ball on this. Every year they bring out a guide to early Shabbos, which I strongly recommend, and they even put into it Kriya Shema so that you can remember, and you can do that. Which raises another question, which is one we have to deal with now, which is the following. You're not really meant to start a meal a half an hour before this man for Kriya Shema arrives, if you're a man. Let's look at the number 26. This is another problem with early Shabbos. Also, lahatchil echol, you're not allowed to start, says the Shulchan Aruch, to eat any day of the week. Why not? Because you might forget. You'll get involved in a suda, then you'll get, you know, eat a lot, and then you'll have a few bottles of wine, and then you'll fall asleep, and that's the end of Krishma. I mean, doesn't everybody do that every evening of the week? Okay? If you did, you're a naughty boy, you davened with it, you started eating within a half an hour of the Zman, mastic. Then as soon as the Zman arrives, Kari Krishma, Beloy Bikase, you have to read Krishma without the brachas for Go Mitzvot, and then get back to your meal. But you shouldn't really start a half an hour before. So what's going to happen? You're going to make early Shabbos. Your husband's going to come back. The man's going to come back from shul. He's going to walk in. Everyone's going to sit down. Shalom Aleichem, Malachi Ashareis, Eishes Chayil. Everyone's beautiful. And he's going to look at his watch and say, ooh, I'm sorry, dear. It's now half an hour before this man for Kriya Shema. I'm afraid we'll just have to sit this one out for another 35 minutes or so, and we'll make Kiddush then. Is that required? So the good news is, it's not usually a problem. You just have to get on with it. For example, I brought you an example. If you daven early Shabbos around 6 o'clock for Mincha, how long does it start? Well, if you go to the Kalbach Minyan, all the bets are off, I'm afraid. Because the Kalbach Minyan, you could end up davening for as long as it davens, okay? But if you, let's say you get back home from early Shabbos, what time? 7:15-ish? If you daven at 6, 7:15-ish? The answer is just get on with it and make Kiddush, and then you're good to go, because it's way more than half an hour before. But once you get to around 7:45, this becomes more of a shiloh, and then the man is going to have to work out what he's going to do. The good news is, the Mishnah Berurah says, at the end of the day, if you're going to have shalom bayis issues, or hachnasas orchim issues, and everyone's sitting there starving, saying, what's all this, we came for early Shabbos, now you're telling me we can't make Kiddush till 8:25, you can actually, even within this half hour, still make Kiddush. But you can rely on the fact that there are other people that say you could say Krishma earlier. But then what you'll have to do is you'll have to be mastic, you'll have to break off in the middle of the meal. One other eitzah, which is quite helpful, is you could set an alarm, okay, that goes off. Then you can start within the half hour, or get someone else to remind you who's not at the meal. That would work as well. But that's something which l'chatchila is an issue, although b'dieved is not actually a problem if you can't manage it. Now here's something you probably never heard of. Go over the page. Page 7. There is one advantage for making early Shabbos, and that gets you out of the Mars problem. What is the Mars problem? So the Mars is the following. The Magen Avraham brings in the name of the Maharil that since the constellation of Mars is ascending, Mars the planet, ascending at the beginning of Shabbos, it's bad mazel to make Kiddush under that constellation, and therefore you shouldn't make Kiddush in the first hour of Shabbos. However, before Shabbos, the constellation of Tzedek, of Jupiter, is in ascendance, and therefore that's good mazel. Therefore you should try and make Kiddush before the Shabbos comes in. Now, according to this, leave aside early Shabbos in the summer, on a regular Shabbos, in the winter, whatever. Now, usually, by the time you get home, it's already well into Shabbos, and therefore people, you know, don't have this issue. But in theory, and by the way, the Chabadnikim are makpid gomor on this, between 6 and 7 p.m., many of them will not make Kiddush. And if it's daylight savings time, maybe between 7 and 8 p.m., look at the Oruch HaShulchan. Anyone here ever heard of this?
Yeah.
A few people have heard of this. Look at number 28. The Oruch HaShulchan quotes it. He says, I've seen somebody who writes, and this is the Magen Avraham, this is not just a weird, out-of-the-way source, Magen Avraham, the name of Maharil. It's better to make Kiddush before it gets dark. Because at the beginning of Shabbos, Humazel Ma'adim is the constellation of Mars. Ubesayt Yom Dalad, Humazel Tzedek, and at the end of Friday is the constellation of Jupiter. Ulecheni Kaddish B'Tzedek. Make Kiddush under Tzedek. Ulefiani of Daiti says, in my opinion, Hutambua. This is astounding. Chas v'shalom, he says, God forbid, he's a real litvak here. God forbid, he says, Loi mashanachnu tachat amazalim. We're going to start making Kiddush based on the mazel. Adarabba, on the contrary, Ra'isi v'kadmonim, I've seen others, ancient sources say, Sha'umas kadmonim, the ancient peoples, Hayyosvim v'shabbos v'choshech, u'bochim. They would sit when Shabbos came in and cry. Okay, because they had a negative mazel for that time of the week. They would sit in the dark. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tzivo Oisanu, and Dafka, that's why Hashem told us, Lehafech, Lehefech, to do the opposite, Lehadlik Harbeor, to light candles, Lehit Anik Atzmenu, and to enjoy ourselves, Leharod She'anu Lemala Me'amazolot, to show that we're over the mazol, and we're not interested in being subject to mazol. V'otanu Lekach Hashem, Lehoitianu Mimarechet Hashemayim, God took us out of all of that nonsense. How could you even think as a Jew to say that you're not going to make Kiddush because the mazel of Mars is ascendant? And if you trust in God, you don't have to worry about these things. And he says, forget about it. And I'm sure that most people, even if they have heard of it, are not Ma'akid on it. But as I said, there are Hasidim who are, although the source is not Hasidish. The source is an ancient Ashkenazi minag of the Maharil, who is 1400 to be Ma'akid on this. Yes.
Yeah,
well, that's what he's saying. He's saying Ein Mazel B'Yisrael. If we're going to get into detail in the Hashkafic issue of Ein Mazel B'Yisrael, which we actually had a shir a long time ago. Now I'm getting so long ago, I can't remember what I talked about. But I think we had a shir about astrology. Ein Mazel B'Yisrael is not so posh. Because Ein Mazel B'Yisrael means Yisrael is subject to Mazel, but you can get out of it if you daven. It's Rabbi Yochanan. It's a machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Chanina. Rabbi Chanina says Yesh Mazel B'Yisrael, meaning there's nothing you can do. You have to work within your mazel. Rabbi Yochanan says Ein Mazel B'Yisrael, meaning even though you're born under your mazel and you're subject to it, if you daven and you're a tzaddik, you can get out of your mazel. Yeah. Now, who can rely on the fact that they're a tzaddik? These people are going to say, I mean, don't take a chance and don't make Kiddush under Mars. Now, I don't know anyone who's married on this. Maybe you do, but I'm just telling you that's another reason why making early Shabbat actually gives you something, an advantage as well. Let's talk about three last issues. One question is, can you eat your Shabbat meal before it gets dark? The Gemara in Shabbat number 29 says, we learn from the word Hayom, Hayom, Hayom. Three times the Pasuk says, Moshe says to the people, eat today, 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 that you're meant to have three meals on Shabbat. Do those three meals have to be dafka during the day of Shabbos or over Shabbos as a whole? Most people pasken that they should ideally be Friday night, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, and therefore one should have a meal on Friday night. If you make early Shabbos and you're really quick off the mark, you get home, you make a quick kiddush and a quick, you know, meal, you're finished, you're done, you're benched, it's still light, you can go outside and sit in the sunshine. Like the Rabbi of Krems did back in the day in Europe. Says the Bach, you can't do that. You have to eat at least, well, the Bach says you have to eat your whole meal really after night. The Mishnah Berurah Paskens, number 13. B'dieved, you don't have to, but it's better to eat at least one kazayas, preferably of bread, after it gets dark. So you can finish your meal early-ish, but if you can, you should eat into the night a little bit. Although if you can't, b'dieved, that's not a problem. Another question comes up. Can you ask another Jew who has not been Mekabel Shabbos to do malacha for you? This happens so often. You're Makabel Shabbos and you realize, oi, I never turned on the light switches, but never fear, because my local Israeli neighbors who never make early Shabbos are there to be my Shabbos Jew, as it were, and do all the things I forgot to do before I was Makabel Shabbos. The Shulchan Aruch says, yes, you can, no problem. The Mishnah Berurah says, as long as it's not so late that everybody's accepting Shabbos, because then you're getting him into trouble or her into trouble, but you can ask a Jew to do malacha for you if they have not been Makabel Shabbos. This fills it up over into the debate, which we're not talking about now, which is, can a two-day yontif, a Jew from Chutz La'aretz, ask a one-day yontif, Israeli, to do things for them on second day yontif? My students, who are almost all women, are very particular as to whether they can get other girls to straighten their hair on second day yontif. Personally, that's less of a pressing issue for me with my own hair, but believe me, the girls want some Israeli in the group, or Chabadnik, whatever, to be straightening their hair. I'm not getting into that now, but it's related to this question. One girl actually once asked me if she's allowed to stiffen her eyelashes on Shabbos. Things that you could never imagine, but to some people are life and death issues. Let's just talk about the last question, which I think is very fascinating, and I'll leave you to read a tshuva on your own. If you're Makabel Shabbos, if your community's Makabel Shabbos, do you get to make your own choices? Meaning, let's say your community makes early Shabbos. You're living in a small community, a village, they make early Shabbos. That's what they all do. But you don't want to. And you say, actually, I've got a lot on today, I'd rather make late Shabbos. Can you do that? And the answer is, if there are multiple communities in town, then you can be with, you know, some do early, some do late, then, you know, there's more flexibility. You certainly don't have to be consistent every week. Someone asked me at the beginning, you can make 1 week one week the other, that's fine, if there are communities that do it. But one thing is a problem, which is if the only show in town is early Shabbos, so number 33, Im Roiv HaKal Kiblu Aleim Shabbos, if the majority of the community has accepted Shabbos, Hamiyad Nimshachim Achrayem, the minority are pulled in after them, Al Korchem, whether they like it or not. So one thing is, which is a problem, is if the town, if the only show in town is accepting early Shabbos, you're living in Alaska, in Anchorage, or you're one of the frozen chosen, or whatever it is, that make early Shabbos, and you say, actually, I'd rather light candles at 11:15 and have a nice long Friday, that's a problem. One, you have to make Shabbos when everybody else does. However, Rav Moshe Feinstein says, whoa, one second. I brought you a nice long shiver on the back, you can look at it in your own time. Rav Moshe Feinstein said, okay, there are some people that say that, and one of the questions he has here is whether a wife is required to accept Shabbos when her husband goes to an early Shabbos minyan. This is a very common question. The husband goes off, he davens early, very nice, she doesn't want to make Shabbos yet, she's got things to do, she wants to take it easy, can she bring in Shabbos later than the husband? So many poskim will say, no, when he is makabel Shabbos, she has to be makabel Shabbos. So she has to time it. She'll light after Plag HaMincha, work out when he gets to Mizmor Shil Yom HaShabbat or whatever, and she'll light in that window. Rav Moshe says you don't need to worry about that. Because number one, the reason that the community is dragged over with the main Kehillah is because they're doing it for Kedusha Shabbos. If the community is bringing in early Shabbos just for convenience, because it's nice to eat with the kids, that's not called you're doing it for Kedusha Shabbos. You're doing it for convenience. You don't drag other people along for that. And actually, he turns around and says, the woman does not really, the wife doesn't actually need to be makabel Shabbos when the husband is. It's better if she's not still, cooking the chicken soup when he gets back from shul on Friday night. That's a bit weird. And she should really have already been makabel before that. But he actually says it's not so critical and she can go off on her own time scale. So hopefully we've covered many of the bases. I brought you some of the sources that I got some of this from. Next time, 2 weeks from now, please God, we will take the opposite picture, which is what if you're stuck on the highway and you're late for Shabbos? You're on that LL flight that's getting in too late. How late is the latest Shabbos? And associated questions, which I think will be very interesting. Okay, well, let's leave it there for now. Yes, let me just turn this off.